Let's read together Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In this first section of the book of Proverbs, we have the author, the purpose, and the theme of this book of Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's begin our study of this first section of Proverbs chapter 1. With some background notes. The book of Proverbs is one of the most practical books in the Bible. It is filled with common sense advice for living. It has been said that because the Proverbs are sanctified horse sense, they give you stable thinking. Seriously speaking, if you have a good working knowledge of the book of Proverbs and follow its advice, you will live a life that is productive and pleasing to God. Now, here's a suggestion for how to get a good working knowledge of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book. Read one chapter a day every month. For the months that have less than 31 days, read a couple of extra chapters on certain days to make up. Do this every month for a year, and you will have a good working knowledge of the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs are more than just popular sayings or pithy statements. They are wisdom statements and moral maxims and prudent precepts. Illustration: March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb is not a proverb. But make hay while the sun shines, or a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, or a penny saved is a penny earned, are proverbs because they contain wise advice. Now, they are not biblical proverbs, but they illustrate what Proverbs are in contrast to just pithy statements. When we study the book of Proverbs, we find that it is hard to outline because there doesn't seem to be any logical order to the Proverbs. They cover every situation we encounter in life, but they are not topically arranged. Why not? Why not have all the Proverbs dealing with money, for example, grouped together instead of scattered throughout the book? Answer: because that's the way life comes at us. We never know what a day may bring forth. Many topics confront us each and every day as we live our lives. The situations we face in life are not arranged topically. So the book of Proverbs comes at us the way life comes at us. Now, here in the first 7 verses of chapter 1 of Proverbs, we are given the author, the purpose, and the theme of the book of Proverbs. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for these first 7 verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Doctrinal point number 1. The primary author of Proverbs is King Solomon. The primary author of Proverbs is King Solomon. Verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. According to this first verse of the book, it sounds like Solomon was the only author of the book of Proverbs. So why do we say in our doctrinal point that King Solomon was the primary author? Because there are other verses in the book that suggest that other wise men contributed to this inspired book of Proverbs. But the primary author of the book is King Solomon. According to 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. Well, we don't have near that number of proverbs in the book of Proverbs. So the several hundred that we do have from the pen of King Solomon is only a selection of the 3,000 proverbs that he wrote. Some of Solomon's proverbs are also in the book of Ecclesiastes. It would seem from Proverbs chapter 25, verse 1, that it was not until King Hezekiah's time, around 700 BC, that the book of Proverbs took its final form. But the primary author of Proverbs is King Solomon. Doctrinal point number 2. The practical purpose of Proverbs is wise counsel. The practical purpose of Proverbs is wise counsel, verses 2 through 6. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. In these verses, we have the purpose of the book of Proverbs. That is to give moral discernment and skillfulness for living a life that is pleasing to God and living your life the way God intended believers to live. Notice the contrast between the wise and foolish from God's perspective. Wise people want to know and learn wisdom, and they are willing to receive instruction concerning their behavior and what is right and just and fair. Foolish people despise wise counsel and hate instruction. End of verse 7. Notice how becoming wise in God's eyes is a learning process. It is not automatic. But the naive can become prudent, and the youth can acquire knowledge and discretion. Verse 4, and a wise person can become wiser and increase in learning and understanding. Verse 5, the wise person meditates on the Proverbs that may seem like a puzzle or riddle, but with insight and wisdom, these Proverbs give godly counsel for living. Verse 6, the practical purpose of Proverbs is wise counsel. And doctrinal point number 3, the positive theme of Proverbs is fear God. The positive theme of Proverbs is fear God. The beginning of verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, there are a lot of negatives in Proverbs, such as don't do this or don't do that, but the theme is positive. Fear God. Fearing the Lord does not mean cringing in terror before the Lord. No. It means showing reverence and honor to the Lord, because he is God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. This is wise counsel for living, as we have here in the book of Proverbs. And it starts with the foundation of putting God first. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The positive theme of Proverbs is fear God. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. Now, what's the difference between knowledge and wisdom? One way to put it is, knowledge is the accumulation of truth in one's mind. Wisdom is the application of truth to one's life. One more time. Knowledge is the accumulation of truth in one's mind. Wisdom is the application of truth to one's life. The fear of the Lord is the foundation for both knowledge and wisdom. Now let me ask you, do you fear God? Do you honor him with your lips and life? Do you worship him? Is the Lord number one in your life? The positive theme of Proverbs is fear God. Now what about practical application from these first 7 verses of Proverbs chapter 1. Seek wise counsel. Seek wise counsel. The end of verse 5 once again. And a man of understanding will attain or acquire wise counsel. Let me ask you, how do you make important decisions in life? Hopefully you do more than just flip a coin. There are biblical guidelines for making right decisions. And one of them is right here. Seek wise counsel. Do you seek godly counsel when you have to make a major decision in life? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And in Proverbs 15, verse 22, we read, without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 15:22. So whether it be in the matter of job change, or choice of church, or lifestyle, or education for your children, or grandchildren, or even where you go on vacation. Seek wise counsel. And practical application number two, start with the right framework. Start with the right framework. Now, what do I mean by start with the right framework? I'm thinking of a jigsaw puzzle. Where do you start when you put together a jigsaw puzzle? Some folks start with the main item pictured in the puzzle, like a house or a boat. Other folks start with the most colorful object, like a red barn. But most of us start with the frame of the puzzle. We get all the edge pieces turned over and put together, and then it's a lot easier to put the other areas of the puzzle into the framework in the right relationship with each other. Let's apply this jigsaw puzzle concept to the area of knowledge. Think of each piece of the puzzle as a piece of knowledge or truth. In order to get all the pieces of knowledge or truth into the right place and position and in the right relationship with all the others, you've got to have the right framework. Now, what is the right framework? It is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, Proverbs 1:7. If you fear the Lord, you will not only honor the Lord and show reverence to the Lord, as we've seen, but you will recognize the Lord as the creator of all and the sustainer of all, and as the sovereign Lord who has authority over all things. How can anyone possibly hope to have all the pieces of the puzzle in the right place if he or she doesn't start with the right framework, namely the fear of the Lord? Others may be experts in certain areas of the puzzle, but without the right framework, they are bound to distort the truth and even suppress the truth, as Romans 1:18 says. I'm reading from Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. From Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Colossians chapter 1 also gives us the right framework. I'm reading from Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. For he, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. From Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. There's the right framework for all knowledge. Not some big bang of mass energy coming from nothing or some other unbiblical scenario, but rather the Lord as creator and upholder of all things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Start with the right framework.